Welcome to the Front Row Back Row podcast presented by Physiogrowth. We're your hosts, Brian, who scaled a PT practice from the trunk of his car to six locations, and Owen, who helped lead an eight-figure exit and now runs a cash-based PT practice. This show is real conversations from owners actively building with what's working right now. All right, today we are going to talk about how to weather good months and bad months. In any physical therapy practice, you have been through this. You have a great month, you're feeling awesome, and then, oh man, we did not get the referrals we thought of the next week. If you've been a business owner for long enough, you have experienced this. Brian has been a business owner for long enough. He's been doing it for 9 years. He's got six clinics out on the East Coast. I ran six here in Arizona for somebody else, didn't own it, like Brian, all fancy. And we both had to deal with this. Now I'm running a cash pay mobile practice where I also deal with this, but it's a much smaller scale. So we're going to talk about good month, bad month, how to measure it, how to forecast it, and how to kind of get through the storm without losing your head. Brian, I know in Arizona, man, I'll tell you what, I bet you can guess what the bad months are, and they start with 100 degrees.
It's so funny because I feel like I never would have known it unless I knew you. So that's
summer Arizona heat, like, oh man. So I know up with you guys the seasonality is a little bit different, right? Because you got people who, you know, go all different places, New York City being a big kind of question mark there compared to everyone else. But I guess the first thing I want to kick off with is you and your practice with your six clinics today in January, when we're recording this, what are you doing? Well, first of all, like what's your bad? Like what are your kind of historically not awesome months?
So we can go through a couple of different things. So one, like let's talk about the physical therapy side, right? Cause we're talking about that. So for us, like, I think that in the insurance based world, like taking insurance and taking patients that way, the seasonality really is that like January into like February 15th is typically a little slower.
Oh, deductible season when everyone gets better magically on December 31st.
Exactly. Right. Like it's always that. And then obviously Medicare kind of ramps up to a degree, but again, like that's also gotten better traditionally over the last few years. But exactly like to your point, like when people all of a sudden magically get better, and then it starts to ramp up really by like March, like March is historically one of our biggest months. As far as the summertime, then yeah, August into September, like particularly those last 2 months, usually chill out for sure. And then the holidays, I mean, depends. But to be honest with you, it really hasn't slowed down nearly as much as it has in the past.
So what's your process? I want to cut you off because I'm almost going to do like interview style here because you're living this right now.
Yeah.
What's your
process? And by the way, Owen, I'm sorry to jump back in, but I would also say that this is applicable to whether you have 100 locations or you have no locations, right? In that way, like slow and busy are all relative. If I've got 100 therapists and they're all slow, that's a bigger problem, right? So that's something I've also realized. So for people like, well, this is only a problem now as I hire more and more, it'll get easier and easier. It's like, maybe, but not, it's not like to a point where it's like that easy either. So anyway, jump in.
So how do you forecast that? Right. Cause I just asked you off the cuff. You did not look at notes. You don't have three screens open saying this. Like how do you forecast that? How do you know it? Is there any sort of modeling you do, budget process, anything like that?
It's a good question. I mean, honestly, the one advantage to being bigger is I think like I don't need to adjust the budgets on things. Like, hey, in this month we can do this, and this month we can't do that. You know, one thing that's really helped us is, you know, and this is why I would say, and again, like for those who don't know, like we also have a hybrid type clinic where we do cash based services. And I would say to anybody, it's important to have other revenue streams into your business, right? You know, busy times for us with fitness are generally January and then September, right? So like people coming back so like it complements it very well. So in like we usually are decently busy during the summer, and then we really get a ramp up in January, and we really get a ramp up in September from the fitness side. So it offsets a lot of that, at least from a cash flow perspective. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look, if you're not busy and the clinic is like bearish, like obviously that's tough and that happens. And you'll go through streaks of that, and you won't be perfect at, you won't be, you, it won't always be bullish where you're like, wow, look at how much better this is, However, when I look at the as a whole, right, I would say from a forecast perspective, like we can do it just through visits. So if I look at, we use, something like WebPT, we can use their analytics to look at visits, each visits, IEs, like length of plan of cares, and we can somewhat forecast what that's going to look like, right? And so we know from the physical therapy perspective what it's going to do, and then we can look at data. The more longer you've been in business, you can look at data on CRMs that you've used, and you can say, okay, here's where I've had busier months and slower months and so forth. And you can kind of, what I like about object, it's no different than what we do in physical therapy, objective data. Like I'm going to measure on force plates, I'm going to measure strength, I'm going to measure this, right? Like the idea behind it is how can we measure all these different things within our business, just like we would for a patient. So that's usually how we do it. As much as like forecasting forward, I try and forecast that we're always going to beat what we've done, right? Because I'm always like I am not somebody who pays myself hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars off a profit from our business. I'm constantly reinvesting, right? I make a very reasonable salary within our business, right? And then what we do is we, what we do is we build all of our practices through that growth. And what that's done is, I think a lot of people make the mistake of, oh, well, look at, I want to make more money. And so they start a business. So they're trying to take as much business money out of the business as they possibly can. And that's just going to stifle growth. That's the reality. If I, and we'll just use round numbers, if I make $100,000 gross revenue in my business and I take $100,000, it's not very hard to figure out, well, why don't I have any money for a budget for marketing, right? But if I make $100,000 and I only take 50K out of it, well, now I have $50,000 to play with that I can work through, right?
Well, and this is that's the important part if you're listening and you don't own six clinics, right? So like if you're in my position where you're cash-based PT and you just started a few years ago, you're humming along, but you're not, you don't have five employees or anything like that. That is a really important thing to think about is, your salary is a certain number from wherever job you came from or what your expectations are. So if you're starting out, I can tell you from my experience that it'll get very emotional very quickly because it's like kind of law of small numbers, right? Especially if you're in cash only, where you could get two phone calls in a week and feel like, oh my God, this is amazing. You get zero phone calls in a week and you're like, oh my God, this is awful, right? You're projecting out your next month, like, oh, I only got three calls in 2 weeks, so that means whatever. Whereas at Brian's scale, I mean, he gets three calls in an hour, not even half hour, right? So when I tell you to say calls, like new patient calls. So it's very important what Brian just said there of like making sure that as you get to his size, it's almost easier for him. Like, relatively, his salary relative to the revenue of his business is much smaller than mine is compared to mine, right? So that's a good thing to think about from the other side of
For
it.
instance, people might be shocked to know this, but Owen, I'm pretty positive, takes more money from his business than I do from mine.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I'm pretty
I think I
positive,
do.
right? Right. And so when people think about that, like just the general size, it's like, but I also obviously like, there's other things that I do, blah, 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 whatever. And so like, but people think,
Because your
really,
kids aren't in
right?
preschool,
Well, that's other,
that's
that's another piece of it, right? It's like my expenses aren't
why.
in this aspect. So, but why do I do that? So people be like, well, Brian, why would you do that? Well, because ultimately, like, it's what I've used to invest money into marketing budgets and growth and so forth to a point where, like, as I've grown our businesses, one, like, it drives our EBITDA up, which is like the actual valuation of our business, which is a long-term play for us. And so I think the thought process is, well, how am I going to continue to build the foundation of the business? And therefore, by doing that, it should consistently do more. Like there's physical therapists within our company that might even take more money than I do out of the business. But I know that like for me, what's more valuable is my equity within the business in my mind. So I think when we've talked about this before, like there's a difference between asset type business and cash flow type business. And so to me, the more money you take out of the business, you're lowering your EBITDA essentially. And
Well, and
some
I
people
think
might
that's
argue with
going to
that, that it's different, but that's my take.
color too how you deal with seasonality, how you deal with rough patches, deductible season, things like that. Because if you do have that buffer, I mean, right there where you talked about, you had a few buffers there that I think are really nice. A, seller discretionary income is what they call it, with sales or with selling a business, but essentially, or owner's discretionary income, but basically how much the owner takes out of the business. So you've cut that low. So there's extra cash that, hey, you could float a bad week or a bad month or somebody on whatever, right? Then there's also the fact that your business has a high percentage of your top line revenue comes in from the fitness side, right? Which people are used to paying cash for. It has different seasonality. So that's another strategy of like kind of having a separate but kind of very relevant clinic income stream. And I think the biggest thing that I would add to it, and what I did, and more of like an, I think we were like 98% insurance when I was running my region. Knowing that you have to do it like quarter by quarter. You can't go month to month. And staffing is going to be important, especially if you have multiple locations, having conversations with staff of like, okay, one is in a geriatric community in Arizona. No one is going to be there in May. The other is in like an inner city area where everyone's a year-round resident and they might go on vacation a little bit in the summer, knowing that you have kind of staffing conversations and the staff understands, okay, I may be commuting to a different clinic for 3 months, right? Having that little bit of flexibility with multi-site clinics is really nice. And then within the clinic, having those conversations with staff of like, I want to keep you salaried. If you're not busy, this is what you do to help marketing. Right. So looking at it less as a like, and especially if you have a manager underneath you, of coaching them to say, look, yeah, you're not busy, but you're going to be busy. And you're going to be busy dropping off, coffee to the doctor's office. You're going to be busy with all these other things. So that's like the day of or the week of the, oh crap, we didn't get who we wanted. And then I think long term as a manager and an owner, you have to think quarter to quarter because there are going to be some, like you said, man, you should always be thinking you're going to grow. And there is now you do get to the point. We had one clinic with 17 clinicians in it. Like we did not think that was going to grow. But we still had a growth target of 5% a year. Everyone else was 25% a year. So you have to also look at the clinics that you're at. So having realistic expectations and knowing that your staff understands the value of salary staff, that they have another job, right? They have a role in the company when they're not treating patients.
I also think, I think you just nailed a big piece, right? Like, what are you doing when you're not treating patients, right? And the aspect of that kind of stuff is like, when you think about the outside world, like the outside piece of it, right? Outside of working through, like I thought you just put up a great example. Like we have a clinic like that that's got 17 PTs in it. One of the things, and that's out in Playa Vista. One of the things that I've learned with those types of clinics is what also is super beneficial is just to open up another clinic not far down the road. Because ultimately now you can actually grow five, six, seven clinics. You can offload that clinic and actually grow again. And it's so crazy, but like that's one of the easiest things. You don't have to spend a dime really on marketing. It just blows up because of your reputation already in the
Well,
area, right?
we always said when we were looking for other clinics and locations is that, hey, I might love McDonald's fries, but if I have to pass four Wendy's to get to McDonald's fries, I'm going to start liking Wendy's, right? So we had those big clinics because honestly, the real estate deal was like some 30-year lease, some insane thing, right? But every other clinic that wasn't those clinics, it was three, four, next one, three, four, next one. And there's a lot of chains across the country. The last one I worked for, two. If they have two, then they get a next one.
That's crazy.
They're going for a little all that, so.
And I think to your point about that, I think one of the things interesting is we found that number at like same thing, like four or five is a really good like, hey, now you're jumping. Because what we've also found is like it's like the tide raises all ships. So what ends up happening is you can start building rather quickly because of that. And that's what I found is awesome. So
And
that's
locations are your buffer when if you're going for it is again when we're talking about slow seasons, how do you deal with it? Having 10 locations, well, hey, that's 10 different bites of the leadership apple, right? You could have like eight rock stars, two of them suck. That's a lot better than having two rock stars and one sucks with three locations, right? So like I just talked a lot of numbers, but basically you hedge your bets by having more locations and more chances to have good leaders. So,
I also think in physical therapy in general, there's far more people who get frustrated by the lack of ability to grow as a leader and jump into a leadership position than there
100%.
are those who are bad leaders personally. So I think the bigger thing is like, how can you jump into these better positions? You know what I
Give them a
mean?
shot, man. That's what we did. I mean, I had a PTA that came into me and she's like, "I want your job." I was like, "Great. We got to convince everybody that a PTA should run a clinic, right?" And we can go down the rabbit hole of things like that, but that again was a seasonality thing. What happens if she had a there's a 5-person clinic? What happens in the summer when everything's slow and we might have to get rid of a PT? Normally, we would get rid of a PTA. We wouldn't get rid of the PT, but the PTA is the manager. So now you're insulated, and then we have to, the PTAs are much harder, or PTs are much harder to find. So the great part was she's a kick-ass leader, right? Everyone loved her. Nobody left. But those were the things where you're like, okay, taking in these, this is why I love this topic of like, how do you deal with bad months? Is because the answer is, find a way to make it so that it doesn't hurt as hard, because it's going to happen. But these are all different ways that you can deflect the arrows, right?
For sure.
And I mean, again, it takes you back to just the basics of leadership training, knowing that your staff is understanding marketing, making sure that you don't make marketing the only avenue of marketing is cold calling or cold show ups. That was the thing that always ticked off our staff, and we were able to kind of find different ways. We had one that was great. They could talk to a rock, right? Go. It's slow. Go market. Go talk to every doctor's office. We had another that hated that, was terrified of that. So we said, fantastic. Write our Instagram posts, right? Figure that out. Do so. This was before ChatGPT, but like basically being like, do these four things. And she was way more comfortable. She felt way more part of the team doing that. And we got more out of it. So
It's
you got to be
awesome.
creative on that side too.
Dude, what a cool story. I don't want to like brush over it. I know you just sort of brushed over it, but like a PT, like to those people who are like, because I know you wrote a piece on LinkedIn and got caught a lot of shit for it too. And PTAs were like, ah, I would do a lot more than blah, blah, blah. Well, like there's a great example of Owen, like again, one being taken out of context on LinkedIn, but two, him basically saying like we hired this PTA and she goes, I want your job, I want to run a clinic, and like it happened because they had the right skill set. Again, shows that like a PTA leading a bunch of physical therapists, oh, what a pompous fucking group we are, right? But a PTA who has leadership skills, hell yeah. I worked with some PTAs that were phenomenal. I worked with some others that sucked. I worked with some other PTAs that were phenomenal. I worked with some others that suck. Has nothing to do with, the credentials. If the person's a good leader, they're a good leader, right? And that's the key.
Well, and that's it. And that's where if you're talking about, and there's other little budgetary tricks that you can do of like having, slush funds for bad months or scheduling, looking at like your 3-year average for a month with visits, like what you're talking about. Honestly, the clinics that, unless it was that retirement clinic, right, where it was like literally there's no great leader in the world could make that clinic not drop 30% overnight, right? When Memorial Day hit. But the
And you know
hedge
what?
is having good leaders.
And to be honest, and to kind of think about the tactical thing with Owen, like we have lines of credit, we have things like that. So if things get slow and we didn't predict it, it's one of those things where like we use it. How
Well,
like
yeah, of
COVID was a
course.
great example of that, right? Didn't predict that. Worldwide pandemic, no one really predicted that. I would say though, what Owen said before that I would totally agree with is, when it comes to forecasting and whatnot, I would also say that like during our down periods, we forecast what taxes are going to be, we forecast what like Amex bills are going to be, we forecast what that stuff is. As far and like we have an I have like an idea in my head of like where all those things are depending on what I'm looking at. However, on the flip side, to those people who are like, well, we have to worry about a slush fund, I don't even look at it as like we have a savings account that we then work towards, like, if when we're going to get slow, we'll use this. Like, I know some people who've had like emergency funds, we don't really have any of that. I would say that the line of credit's like the oh shit stuff that's like, okay, we got to figure this out. However, on the flip side, we and that also covers certain expenses. So if a check's not, coming in or blah blah, like I got somebody who owes us a bunch of money. Like, so if something along those lines happens, we're on top of it and whatnot. But that's kind of my take on it. So it's more of that process than anything. So I would say you also don't want to be dipping into bank loans. It's a dangerous spot to be like, we're going to use this money to pay to get busier. You want to have a very tactical approach to that because that's a dangerous place to operate. And if you aren't squeezing your butt cheeks when you're doing that, you have a bigger problem. And that's the type of thing where it's like you should be able to cash flow and operate well with your growth. You should be able to self-fund everything with the profits of your business. If you're not, that means you're taking too much money out of your business. That's exactly what it means to me.
And that's that lines of credit are a necessity, right? Especially as you get bigger, right? You get paychecks have to come in that day. If you don't hit paychecks, everyone leaves.
That's mainly what I would say is if someone has a payroll, like a big payroll, I wouldn't even say like you need to secure it after a few, but the reality is like, 'cause that allows you, if you can secure, you know, two or three payrolls on your line of credit so that you can make sure it gets paid. You know, that way if you see that you're missing payroll, you know, and you're just going to the line of credit a couple times, that's when it's like, all right, do we need to make adjustments here? And
Oh
then we go from there. And that's how you look
You,
at it.
it's that that should be very much a break glass in case of emergency. That's
For
like
sure.
March 2020 stuff, right?
Yep.
But yeah. All right, cool. Well, do you have anything
Cool.
to add on like how to weather the slow months?
Well, to weather the slow months, I mean, we kind of talked a little bit about one of the podcasts about how to like find, you know, people. And I actually just posted this the other day is like, you know, the thing I this is the hook for those who want to read more of what I put on Instagram is like one lesson I've always kept relearning is no matter how big or small the business is this, you never stop needing new patients. So the reality is like I look at all the different ways that I always need new patients. I'm always trying to get new patients. And the reality is during your slow months, that means you probably let up off the gas a little bit on the getting new patients and you just need to keep getting more new patients. That's what it comes down to. So
Honestly, I love the fact that you said this is the hook. That shows you how like marketing and new patient like oriented you are as an owner.
for sure.
It's like, here's the hook, there's the body, and there's the CTA. Let's
It's very, very
go.
hard to be poor when you got a lot of people knocking down your door, right?
That is true.
This is the reality, the Hormozy plug there, right? So
There
that's
you
the
go.
idea behind it, right?
All
So
right. All right, my
cool.
friend.
All right,
We are
man.
all set.
Sounds
See
good.
you.
See ya.